So I'm watching this movie the other day, and I'm not quite getting the storyline. It seems a little too random. Like things are popping up and happening, and I wasn't quite sure what was going on, and it wasn't all like fitting together, you know? And it seemed a little bit, you know, disjointed, and I'm like, what is this? And finally I kind of figured it out. It was like flashbacks. Like a present day having flashbacks, you know, where you kind of get the present story and then they refer back to some other kind of a significant moment that happened in the past that, you know, or the person remembering something from way back when that had influenced them. And, you know, sometimes in a movie they'll do the squiggly lines, right, as you kind of remember. You know what I'm saying? You follow me on that? You've seen that kind of stuff before? Well, our scripture is kind of like that a little bit. Particularly if you're just kind of reading through Mark, and then you happen upon this particular passage in chapter 6. This is our scripture reading in Mark. The chapters read like you're going along with Jesus. You're just going along with Jesus, walking along with Jesus. Jesus is teaching in parables for days on end. He teaches on parables. Jesus calms a storm. Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. Jesus raises a girl from the dead. Jesus heals a woman. Jesus goes into his hometown and preaches, but there's a lack of faith there. Jesus goes to village, to village, to village. Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. John is beheaded. And then Jesus starts to heal and feed the 5,000. Excuse me, wait a minute. What was that? What? Back up one. What was that? You're going along with Jesus, going along with Jesus, going along with Jesus. All of a sudden, oh, by the way, John's head's on a platter. It's kind of like, meanwhile, back at the ranch. Right? You're watching one thing and it switches you to something else. And listen, if you like sex scandals, if you like murder and mind games and international intrigue, then the family of Herod is a great family to look at and to follow. It's picture perfect because it's a major drama that goes on for decades and decades and decades. And the backdrop, the flashback, fills in some of the blanks. Even though it's just like it's quick, but it fills in some of the blanks as you're walking along with Jesus. See, scripturally, it's a dividing point. It's a dividing point. It becomes the passion phase, as one book puts it, leadership book puts it. It becomes a passion phase for Jesus. It becomes less of John and more of Jesus. It's a pivotal turning point. John the Baptist is the one who's famous, if I could put it that way. John the Baptist is the one with all the disciples. John the Baptist is the one with the reputation. John has a following. John the Baptist is creating all kinds of controversy. He's the one speaking out. He's the one crying out in the wilderness, repent! Repent! The Jews haven't seen a prophet in over 400 years. He's stirring it up. This is amazing. No wonder people are flocking to him to hear what he has to say. John spoke with authority, and he spoke with the voice of God, calling people to repentance. And now Jesus is starting to gain a reputation. Hey? Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Well, whose name was well known before that? John the Baptist. And what did he do with John the Baptist? John the Baptist, some were saying, had been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work within him. So before we get too far down the road, there are many Herods in the Bible. So let's kind of get it a little bit straight, just so I can give you kind of a picture of an overview. The Herod that was alive when Jesus and John were born is not the Herod you just read about. Herod the Great was alive when Jesus and John the Baptist were born. Okay? The Herod we just read about was his son, King Herod. Not Herod the Great, King Herod. Okay? With me on that? All right. So the Herod we're reading about is his father had an enormous kingdom, and he died. And when he died, Herod the Great divided his kingdom among his children. Herod, King Herod Antipas, King Herod Philip, and Archelaus, if I'm saying that right, Archelaus. So Herod the Great dies and divides his kingdom. With me? Not too complicated so far, right? So all of these sons went by the name Herod. Herod Antipas, Herod Archelaus, Herod Philip, right? Okay? He also had a fourth son, Aristobulus. Aristobulus. He didn't get much. But watch. This is where it kind of gets dramatic, if you want to say it that way, right? Aristobulus had a daughter, Herodias. Okay? The daughter went on and married one of the uncles, Herod Philip. Okay? During that time, Herod Antipas marries some other king's daughter in that region of Palestine. And somewhere along the line, perhaps in a road trip to Rome, Herodias meets with Herod Antipas. Now, Herod Herodias is married to Herod Philip, her uncle, but now falls in love with the other uncle. Okay? And so they leave their respective spouses and now they're together. Okay? And it was because of this incestuous and adulterous relationship that John has strong words to say to Herod Antipas and to Herodias. Did I confuse you? Or were you able to kind of follow along with that? So John is a voice of truth. There's your first one. There's this voice of truth that comes out. There's this voice of truth that rings. And John fearlessly preached against this adulterous and incestuous relationship. And John preached repentance. Turn from evil and turn toward God. He didn't care if you were rich. He didn't care if you were poor. Repent. He didn't care if you were king or peasant. Repent. John's message was simple, and it was clear, and it was straight to the point. It made no difference if you were Herod or a revolutionary. It made no difference if you were young or you were old, if you were Roman or if you were Jew. It made no difference. Repent and get right with God. John was a forerunner. Forerunner to what? To Jesus. He was the last of the great prophets, promoting the coming of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. He would say, there is one coming after me that will be greater than I. And this is the turning point. This is the turning point when it becomes less of John and more of Jesus. John preached it. He spoke it. He lived it. That made some people pretty excited. It made some other people pretty mad and upset. Not much different in today's world, is there? Just mention the word repent at a party. See what stirs up. John expected people to be sinners, and he expected them to confess and repent. He expected Herod Antipas to confess and repent. He expected Herodias to confess and repent. Herod Antipas' response was one of anger out of manipulation. Herod did not want to hear his big mouth exposing and airing all his dirty laundry to all those people that he's taxing and governing and ruling over. Herod had John the Baptist arrested. Now, why doesn't John just keep his big mouth shut? He'd avoid it all. Just shut up, John. As a matter of fact, why are you here in my territory? Why don't you go over there? But he keeps on keeping on because he's a voice of the truth. Why wouldn't his disciples tell him, keep it down, John? You're getting way too political when you start talking about the king and his wife. You're speaking about his character of leadership. Don't ruffle any feathers, man. Why do you keep... See, look, truth is more than not lying. Truth is more than not lying. It's truth telling. It's truth speaking. It's truth living. It's truth loving. John was willing to speak the truth even if it cost him his life. And how could I say it in such a way that you would kind of maybe get it, put it in your heart? He wanted their hearts to turn to God. Repent. Turn to God. He wanted them to get right with God. He wanted them to be saved. He was interested in their eternal souls. Just like you want your kids to return to God. Just like you want your siblings to come and understand a deeper faith of God. He wanted them to have eternal life. He was hurting for their soul. John is not a hater. It's not about politics. It's not about who's in power at the time. It's not even about Herodias's horrible behavior. He hated the sin. And he loved the sinners. He wanted them to come to repentance. To show that God was the ruler of all. Even if you're Herod Antipas, Herod Philip, even if you're Herodias in your horrendous behavior. Return, repent, turn back to God. See, here's your slide. My experience is that the only people getting mad at you for speaking truth are the ones living the lies. And how do I know that? How do I know where the heart of a person is? How do I know where the heart of John is or Jesus? Or how do you measure the heart of a minister and a pastor? Well, there's your next slide. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. I want to rejoice in my life. I don't want to delight in evil. And see, what's awesome about John is he has no agenda. There's no agenda for him. There's no political agenda. There's no personal gain for speaking the truth. There's no financial power to gain. There's no fame to acquire. There's no reputation to protect. There's no circumstance that he needs to try to control. His heart is for the people, that they would return to God. It doesn't matter who the people are. He baptized them all. He wanted people to be honest before the Lord, to get their lives right and walk in forgiveness. It's not a political war. It's not an economic war. It's not a social war. Please be careful about the wars you rage and the things that you promote. Are they things of the Lord or are they things of your agenda? Be careful what you lose your head over. John was preaching it. Get ready. I'm making way for the coming of the Lord. John's preaching it. Get ready. I'm making ready for the coming of the day of the Lord. Get cleansed. Repent. Get saved. Repent. Get forgiven. Repent. God is here. He's waiting for you. Turn toward him. Shun the evil. The great prophet John's words echoed now through Jesus. Repent and be saved. So Jesus. Jesus speaking and saying the same things. And then you get this flashback. John's been beheaded. And now the king is going, well, it's got to be John the Baptist. Reborn. Raised from the dead. Because I'm hearing the same thing again. I've heard this before. Get right with God. Get saved. Forgive as you are forgiven. Today, now is the time. For you, just like he was preaching it back then, now is the time. Now, truthfully, with all sincerity that I can muster up, get forgiven. Get right with God. Make a new start. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care who you've loved. I don't care who you've hated. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care if you walk out the door. I don't care who you slept with, who you cheated on, who you stole from or lied to. Get right with God today. Forgive as you have been forgiven. Just as you have received love from God, give it away. Just as you have received grace from God, give it away. The day of the Lord is at hand. And his presence is here now. Moving among you, touching your hearts, scattering your brains, ruffling you in your seats because you feel guilty. Repent and get cleansed before God today. Relieve yourself of the heavy, heavy burden. Heed the warning. Heed the word of God. And because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and a holy man, why didn't King Herod just kill him? He kept him in a prison cell. Why didn't he just kill him? It's entertainment for him, right? Because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him, he's a righteous and a holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, and he liked to listen to him. He liked to engage and have conversations with him. He enjoyed the debate. He enjoyed the conversation or whatever it was that John might. It was entertainment, like I said, right? There was no TV. Bring the dancing girls in front of me. Bring that preacher in front of me, right? You know, bring the jester in front of me. What? That was the entertainment. Far too many churches today aren't a source of truth. This is your next one, a source of truth. Very entertaining. Churches could be very entertaining. We got smoke shows and light shows and our church is calling for repentance? The church you attend calls for repentance. You're here today. I'd venture to guess that if you went out, many other churches, great show, great lights, great music, very entertaining. Churches have become pretty good at entertaining. We can draw a crowd, but can we walk the walk? Can we talk the talk? See, John was a source of truth, and he was willing to lay his life on the line for it. A source of God's word into people's lives, into Herod's life, into Herodias' life, even when they didn't like it. There's way too many people, way too many Christians. They love to hear the words. They love to sing the songs. They love to hear the preachers preach. They love to shout out, amens, amens. They love to clap their hands. Hallelujah, praise be to God. But they don't do the word. They don't live the life. And what happens when you become hearers only and not doers of the word? You are deceived. They don't do the word, they just keep on hating. They don't do the word, they just keep on gossiping. They don't do the word, they just keep on lying. They don't do the word, they just keep stirring up divisions. They don't do the word, they just keep in their lust and in their greed. When someone hears but they don't do, they're deceived. They open themselves up to the vices of the world. And, I didn't write this, but they open themselves up to the voices of the world. Have you ever thought about this? That when someone says, hey, you know, you ought to keep that Christian faith to yourself. You ought to keep that Christian faith to yourself. Do you know what that is? A worldview. That's not a biblical view. That's a worldview. Have you adopted a worldview concerning your Christianity? Just in being a source of truth. We're supposed to show the love of Christ, be the source of truth. We're supposed to share what gives us strength, what gives us peace, what gets me through the day. I'm supposed to share that. Yes, it's my truth. It can be yours too. Yes, it's my truth and it has changed my life. It can be yours too. To speak about our forgiveness, to speak about our grace, to speak about mercy, reconciliation, and restoration, it draws people to the Lord. There's a hopeless, dark world looking for hope, and you're the source of truth. Go into all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Will you listen to the command of your God, or will you listen to the voices of the world? Every Sunday is an outreach. Our VBS program is an outreach. We're telling people about Jesus. For us to not do so is to follow the ways of the world. It's not complicated for me. I want to follow God. I want to do what God asks me to do. Not what the world instructs me to do. Not what my economic scenarios and situations dictate that I do. I want to follow what God tells me to do. For me to abandon what God has asked is to take up on the ways of the world. To put your faith on a shelf, and the world wins. And the enemy wins. When you stop speaking the truth, stop living the truth, you start living the lie. Amen. Be about the Lord's work. Promote love, promote truth. People will see your actions. People may hear you and someone might even listen. Imagine that. Be the voice in the wilderness crying out. Maybe one person hiding behind a cactus will hear you. By all means, please, use some lights. Play some drums. Play a guitar. Build a volcano. But please, talk about truth of God. Repent. Get away from evil and turn toward God. Please be bigger than politics. Be bigger than governments. Be bigger than money and greed and gossip. And ready? Oh, it's tough. Be bigger than your own selfish ambitions. Be bigger than your own opinion. God might have some opinions that are different than yours. Whose are you going to follow? The voice of the flesh? Voice of the world? Voice of Fox News, CNN? Voice of God. Speaking boldly and clearly. Repent. Follow me. The source of truth, God's word, the manner in which Jesus lived, even how John lived. John lived, he was an absolute radical. Radical, way outside the box. John looked different, sounded different, acted different. He was different. And he drew people to him. And it was okay. He was doing what God asked him to do. You see, sin is under attack. You believe that? Sin is under attack. Truth is under attack. We can warp it and manipulate it all the ways in which we can. Sin really is no longer sin. The world doesn't even like the term. They'll avoid it. Man has watered it down to fit a worldly view, to promote immorality, to promote evil, to promote anti-God. Many people are perfectly okay. Casual sex, aborting babies, divorce at will, have affairs, siblings, lie, cheat, steal, advance your career, just like Herodias, just like Herod, just like the ways of the world that God calls out. Be a source and a voice of truth. Simple. It's not complicated. And you will ruffle a lot of feathers. And you might seem radical. You might seem out of the box. You might seem disconnected with the present day culture. Yeah, I probably am. Can we land in this place? Sin is what God says sin is. Can we land there? I mean, even if you're just going to accept the word even, and many people will not even do that, but if you'll accept the word sin, well, what is that? Well, it's what God says it is. We can land there, right? Sin is not your opinion. Sin is not what the world views and defines it as, or what the latest cultural trend is. Sin is what God says it is. It's his term. Here's your next slide. For Christ has reached or rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. That's where redemption is. That's where reconciliation is. That's the truth. And the truth is, I need to repent. I need to turn from evil. And if you're repenting, what are you repenting from? If you're turning to God, what are you turning from? I don't need more condemnation. I get enough of that from the world and my own brain. I need more healing, not more pain. I do not need more political oversight. I need to be free on the inside. I need more love in my life, a lot less hate. I need more unity, not division. I need the fresh filling of the Holy Spirit of God. Move in our lives in such a way is that we repent and turn and see what God wants from us. The source of all truth tells me and he shows me I can be better. I can do better. And then the source of all truth and love tells me you are better. You are better. You are better. You are healed. You are free. I don't know what the world's been telling you, but God's been telling you, you're free. You're healed. You're saved. You're my child, whom I love. I'm right with God, and it shows. Many are not right with God, and it shows. People will hear the call, get right with God. Many won't, some will. I know the road is narrow and the companions are few. And somehow, somewhere, sometime along the way, you're going to be faced with a choice to repent or remain unforgiven, a choice to serve the Lord or serve the world, a choice to continue to walk in your sin or to repent and walk with Christ. Choices bring consequences. Following God cost John his life. Following God meant death for Jesus. What does following God gonna cost you? Your own ideas? Your own opinions? Your definition of what sin is? See, a lot of that doesn't really sound like a lot of the prosperity gospel that a lot of churches like to preach. Follow Christ and get rich and gain the world. Nope. Follow Christ and die and gain eternal paradise. You choose. And this is really what he asks for us. He asks us to die to ourselves, to die to our politics, die to our opinions, die to our ambitions and our own self-righteousness. If I'm going to lose my head over something, it's going to be the cause of Christ. And finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for all his high officials and military commanders and leading men of Galilee. Are you ready? Here's your next one. There will be some enemies of the truth. There will be some enemies of the truth. Another version would read, a convenient time had come. Well, whose convenient time? It was all about Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, John gets beheaded. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Well, there's a turning point there, right? Because it's all the fame is John the Baptist, but he gets beheaded. And many of John's disciples become Jesus' disciples. And Jesus carries on, right? But there's also within that little thing, there's just this little thing that happens. It's like, oh, is it about King Herod? Or is it about Herodias? Just when you thought it was about King Herod killing John the Baptist, you hear about this manipulative little harlot, Herodias. Just another twist in the perception of the passage. Hell has no fury like a woman scorned. Herodias waiting for the opportune time. It wasn't Herod waiting for an opportune time. It was Herodias waiting for this convenient time to manipulate my husband, whom I love, to kill and murder and behead this voice crying in the wilderness and now in a prison cell in my palace. John put to death because of a stance for the truth in the Word of God. All he wanted was them to have a right relationship with God. And it stirred him up. It causes a lot of controversy with evil. There's always going to be enemies of the truth, haters that want to do things their own way. Not God's way, their way. And you may be an enemy to yourself, because oftentimes your own worst enemy is you, right? Make sure the worst enemy is not living between your own two ears. Herodias had a tough time dealing with her own guilt. She had a difficult time dealing with her own shame. She had a difficult time dealing with the reputation that now she had pronounced throughout several different communities, kingdoms, amongst kings, amongst her uncles, amongst her own family. Shutting John up might help alleviate the feeling of the indignity. Killing John might help alleviate the feeling of my shame or my guilt, my disgrace. See, the truth is the truth. The truth is the truth. It doesn't really matter who speaks it. A grub-eating prophet or the voice in your head? We all like to say we got the angel on one side and the devil on the other side. And all you. You. We're all there. What are we choosing? And the reality is, once you understand in the truth of God's word, your truth doesn't matter. Your truth is what God says is true. Your opinion, dying to self, is God's opinion. Crucify me if you want, but I'm standing for God. Do you get it? You understand? Not your truth, not your opinion, God's word. And you might find some love for yourself. You might find some real forgiveness for yourself. You might find some real structure in your life that often seems like it's one week it's this, next week it's that, one week it's this problem, next week it's that. Would you land somewhere on the word of God? For he is our rock. And only in Jesus can you find some relief from your own guilt, from your own shame, from your own dishonor. Only in Jesus, and that's the truth. See, you can't kill truth. Just ask Jesus, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And that's the truth. You know where there are a lot of folks that want you to stop talking about Jesus, to keep all that stuff to yourself. They'll try and shut you up, keep you down, suppress you, and condemn you. But the person that walks with the Lord is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they can't be shut up. They just can't shut up. They can't be put down. They cannot be condemned. And listen, they cannot die, because even in death is victory. Even in death, Jesus got my back. I speak about unity and forgiveness and the kingdom of Christ. Please be bigger than denominations. Be bigger than governments. Be bigger than race. Be bigger than culture. I believe this. This is where I'll end. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph upon their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their lives will be lifted high in honor. The wicked will see, and the wicked will be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away, and the longings of the wicked will come to nothing. The righteous shall never be shaken, and shall be remembered forever. Let me pray for you. Father, in this place, this day, we invite you to come minister and work upon our hearts. Challenge us, change us. And Father, I want to repent. And if I can stand in front and on behalf of the people gathered here, may I repent for them, in place of them, in front of them. May you pour out your forgiveness upon me and upon them. May we all turn from evil, the ways of the world, to righteousness in the ways of God. Give us strength to endure any trouble that might come, for we will trust in you and you alone. In the name of your Son, we would pray, amen. God bless you. An offering from one of our elders.